For Thomas Matters Radio, this is Mark Collier for the Informed Voters Project. The Informed Voters Project is sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions. If you are a small business and you accept credit card payments, Omega Processing Solutions is the company to go see, so please check them out. We are very thankful for them sponsoring our podcast today. I'm here with Republican candidate for the 24th District State Senate for Kentucky, Will Schroeder. Will, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, and to the listeners, thanks for listening and caring about this race.
Will, I guess first what I want to do is just kind of talk about who you are, why you're running. Obviously, you're running to replace Senator Katie Stein, so let's talk about you and why you're running.
Yeah, absolutely. I am Will Schroeder and live with my wife, my high school sweetheart, in Wilder, and currently I'm a prosecutor here in Campbell County. Went to the University of Kentucky, went to NKU for law school, and have pretty much been a prosecutor in Campbell County my whole legal career.
So let's kind of get right into the, you know, the issues of the race. You are a prosecutor. You see, you know, how the heroin epidemic has kind of hit close to home, more so than probably anybody else. That is probably something that you've talked about most on the campaign trail with some other issues.
Yes, absolutely.
Talk about the importance of, you know, really dealing with this. You've got a two-pronged approach, so let's talk about that.
Right. Well, I know this has been a hot topic for a lot of candidates, and I am the, you know, one of the only candidates that actually has the experience dealing with this topic every day. Like you said, Mark, it's, you know, prosecuting, it's just been the biggest crime that we're facing in Campbell County. And, you know, when I started, we were averaging about 700 cases a year, and that was on the high end. This past year, we're at about 1,300.
Wow.
So, you know, our caseload has gone up significantly. The number of arrests officers are making, it's just all across the board. It's put more weight on the cities. So it's caused financial strain on the cities as well, not just to mention all the pain that the families
are going through. Sure, the overdoses. I just saw a report today that they more than doubled since just last year.
Yeah, it's really sad situation. And, you know, one thing that I try to talk to people about, you know, I talked to a voter recently who said, you know, I'm not really interested in that. I'm just interested in jobs and things like that. But people fail to realize sometimes that this really is an economic development issue as well. If you're a business and you're looking at relocating or starting your business up, and you see that Northern Kentucky and Campbell County specifically has a really bad heroin problem, and see that there's sometimes syringes thrown in the parking lot, well, that could, you know, change your mind about if you're going to locate there or not.
Sure.
So, but you're right. I do have a two-pronged approach. Since I've been doing this, there was a House Bill 463, and what that did, one of the things that it did, it reduced the sentencing levels for traffickers.
Reduced it.
So we're talking people that traffic heroin, they sell heroin. It used to be in Kentucky, you'd be facing 5 to 10 years if you sold heroin. Now, a lot of times what we see, because of House Bill 463, depending on the quantity, a lot of the traffickers are facing only 1 to 5 years. So just,
that's unbelievable.
Right. It was terrible timing. You know, the timing of reducing the levels for trafficking, and then just with the heroin epidemic, it's just, I mean, it's not going to be a silver bullet solution, but it is part, you know, part of the way we can fix it. Because people say, well, what's that going to do? What's that going to change? Well, you know, it used to be that the traffickers in Ohio knew that the Kentucky laws were harder, they're stricter, and they really didn't want to cross the river because they knew they were facing 5 to 10 years. Well, when we weaken our sentencing, that really sent the wrong message that, you know, not that we're open for business, so to speak, but that, well, we're not going to treat it as harshly as we did. So that was a mistake, obviously.
And that's probably a lot of the reason why you hear of the stories of the Newport Pavilion being one of those, you know, drop-off areas. It's right across the bridge from 471, and our areas in Campbell County, Newport, Fort Thomas, we're right right in the middle or the bullseye on that road.
Right. Unfortunately, you know, the 275, we get a lot of people on 275 who will come down to Newport or go into Cincinnati, pick up their stuff and come back. And a lot of times it's the shopping center pavilion there, the new one with Kroger's, and that is, you know, easy on and off access. And unfortunately, they get off there a lot of times. So for a while there, every week we're having cases where, you know, people were shooting up in that parking lot, and they were having police pretty much patrol that 24/7.
So you are wanting harsher penalties for the traffickers.
For the traffickers. So that addresses the traffickers, but they're still the users. And one thing that I've been talking to people about is trying to get more funding for Northern Kentucky for treatment centers. Now, this is money that is already set aside in the budget for substance abuse treatment. But unfortunately, like so many things, Northern Kentucky is really not getting its fair share. We're seeing situations where cities like Bowling Green have more inpatient bed facilities than Campbell County. And what I would like to do is look where the need is, assess where the need is. And right now, I think it's undebatable that the need is up here in Northern Kentucky.
Sure.
And that even on the national scale, this is it, you know. So we need to shift that money to where the need is. And then, you know, I tell people if in 3 years, 4 years from now, Western, Eastern Kentucky has more of a problem than we do, we need to, you know, reassess that again and shift that back down there.
Your predecessor, Katie Stein, the only bills that she sponsored in this last General Assembly was Senate Bill 5, which would go a long way to, you know, fighting the heroin scourge. In May, it passed flying colors right through the Senate. In January, the House kind of held on until May and took it down to the wire, and Senator by the name of Sani, represented by the name of Sani Overly, attached a tolling amendment to the heroin bill. It had nothing to do with heroin. I guess, you know, there's not a whole lot that you could do right now as a senator, or if you were a senator at that time. But I guess talk about, you know, the jumbling up, you know, an important piece of legislation, and I guess in a broad scheme of things, is that, you know, happening because others throughout the state are not recognizing the true effects of what it's doing, like we know that it does in Northern Kentucky?
Yeah, I think definitely that's a concern. I think that they don't really realize what we're going through up here. And, you know, Senator Stein, I thought, did a great job with that bill. I know she was passionate about it, and I think that's really important. And she pushed and got it, you know, like you said, the Senate passed it right away. And then, unfortunately, I think partisan politics played a big role in, you know, holding that up. They got a situation where they didn't even vote on it until the 11th hour, so to speak. And, you know, a bill that really is important is heroin legislation, life and death situation in some cases. To be held up by partisan politics is, you know, it's pretty disgusting. It really is. And to see amendments, like you said, that have nothing to do with substance abuse problems or the sentencing laws or anything like that, just completely different. You know, it's unfortunate, and it was sad is what it was. It was sad for the citizens of Campbell County and Kentucky.
Now, you'd have obviously no problems reaching across the aisle, grabbing your Democratic comrades at that point and just looking them in the eyes saying, let's look past this, guys.
Right, absolutely. No, one thing that I would like to do, you know, after the election, what I would like to do is go around the Commonwealth of Kentucky and visit the different senators and representatives, not just the Republicans, but the Democrats as well. Just meet them on their home turf and get to know what issues are important to them, and then also share what's important to us and talk about, you know, the heroin epidemic up here and what I've seen as a prosecutor. And also, not just the statewide Democrats, but even local. You know, Arnold Simpson is someone I've known for a long time and always gotten along with. And Dennis Keene is almost a neighbor. We're both in Wilder, and I think that we'll be able to have those relationships that will benefit the county.
So heroin, obviously one of your top priorities. Another I've heard you talk about a lot is jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Recently, we saw a situation where some jobs, about 200 jobs left from Toyota to go down to Texas. And one thing I talk about when I talk about jobs is I talk about tax reform. And tax reform is one of those issues that the General Assembly always seems to talk about, but nothing's ever gets done on it. You know, it's just really unfortunate. And so we're stuck with an inadequate tax code that is really just not business friendly. And as a result of that, we continue to lose jobs. Texas, where those jobs went, has been leading the country the last 2 years in job creation. And if you look at reasons why companies are going to Texas, one is because of the attractive tax code policy that they have. So we really need to revamp that, look at that, and get that done.
Obviously, we have a large budget deficit in the state of Kentucky. Pensions are one of those sacred cows that are, you know, sometimes hard to touch. How can we kind of look at, you know, as far as jobs, wasteful spending, and then put pension in there as well, and kind of solve maybe one, two, or three of those problems?
Yeah, the pension problem is definitely a problem. It is we have in Kentucky the worst pension system, pension liability in the United States. It was Illinois was leading, and I think we've passed them, unfortunately. And it's a situation where some people call it a bankruptcy time bomb for the state. We're billions of dollars behind in the pension. So I would like to address that. It's been addressed a few sessions ago. They took out the pensions that were strictly for the General Assembly, which I think was a good start. But more needs to be done. So I have a few ideas. And one thing I would like to see is more transparency with the pension board. Recently, what the pension board has been doing to try to make up for lost ground, they've been investing in these hedge funds. And the hedge funds, unfortunately, have been bad investments for the pension. And they have not even kept up with the S&P 500. They've been less than half of what
that's hard to do in the last couple of years when the S&P has kind of skyrocketed.
Right. And so, I mean, if they would have just stuck to regular stocks and bonds, we would have been better off. But they tried investing in these hedge funds to try to make up lost ground, and unfortunately, it's just pushed us back even farther. And one of the problems going to the transparency there is that, you know, when people say, well, where is our money going? What is our money being invested in? We know it's going to the hedge fund, but what does the hedge fund invest in? And the pension board hasn't been willing to share that. They say, you know, well, that's private information. If we shared that with everyone, they would, you know, take our secrets and make money. Well, no one's making money off it. It's been a disaster. So we need transparency there. We need to be able to see where the money's going. You know, I can get on discover.com and see where I'm spending my money, and I can get on and see where I'm investing my money. And, you know, the people of Kentucky who have invested year after year into a pension system should be able to do that too. They should know where their money's being invested.
Sure. You're talking about, you know, knowing where the money is and whether it's coming back. As a representative for Campbell County, Bracken County, and Pendleton County, many state senators throughout the state kind of have a wish list of things that they'd like to bring home from Frankfort in terms of dollars to, you know, have certain projects done. Not a lot has been done in that way in Fort Thomas. Is that something that you would try to champion? Is that, do you think that, you know, the monies that are bringing back now are adequate? How do you kind of look at that?
Right. Well, as you know, being a Fort Thomas resident, one thing that Fort Thomas residents value is the school system. And that's when I'm knocking on doors, a topic that a lot of parents talk to me about. And as you know, in the northern end of Fort Thomas, Johnson Elementary is a school that really is out of date at this point, structurally. And, you know, recently, Ruth Moyer, we had a situation where the state was able to come up with some money to remodel parts of Ruth Moyer, which is great and fantastic. And now what I would like to see for Fort Thomas project would be Johnson get on that list. and let's get some changes to Johnson Elementary. I
think people would really kind of welcome that. So minimum wage, that's a topic that will be brought up at some point in the state legislature. What's your stance on minimum wage raise, keep the same, status quo?
Well, I'm a big believer that when you raise the minimum wage, you also raise the unemployment rate. I have a father-in-law who's in the restaurant business, and this is a topic I've talked to him about, and I've talked to other business owners about on the campaign trail. And people will tell you, if I had to raise the minimum wage, I would have to lay off half my workforce. At least that half was the number my father-in-law gave me. You know, he's in the restaurant business, like I said, and those employees were never really meant to make a full-time, lifetime living off, you know, being a server. That's a job that is kind of a side job for a lot of people. It's a job that, you know, is great starting out when you're in high school or college, but it was never really intended to be, you know, I'm going to be a server the rest of my life. And I'm a big believer in just that if we raise that minimum wage, it's going to cost us in unemployment.
So let's see. Gambling. That's another, I guess, kind of boondoggle topic that has passed around the General Assembly for the last couple of years. Whether it's, you know, the horse industry really can't figure out how they want to tackle it.
Right.
There's been some other ideas as far as maybe a sports book that has been thrown around. How do you look at gaming and you know, revenue with Kentucky? And if so, you know, what does that look like here?
Right. Well, that is one area, I guess, that I'm different from Senator Stein. You know, I do think that at the end of the day, we should just let the people decide. And that's kind of where I am on this thing. You know, I know there's pros and I know there's cons. But ultimately, I think the people of Kentucky should have that vote. I do think we have to be cautious when we look at how much is gaming really going to bring the state. You know, of course, we want that money, that revenue, to stay in state, and we could put it towards the pension shortfall. We could put it towards education, which would be great. But when you look at states like Ohio, who had really grand plans for what they would do with all their money, well, they didn't really quite meet that those expectations. And to be honest with you, Mark, I think at this point, unfortunately, Kentucky's playing catch-up. You know, we have a situation where Indiana has, you know, casinos. We have Ohio now right across the river. So how much more are we really going to attract? I think at this point, it's just about keeping the money in state. I think you mentioned sports. You know, I know that is something, sports, gaming, gambling, betting, that is something that I have heard recently. I think my opponent mentioned it to the chamber. Unfortunately, that is not going to be possible. There is a federal law, a 1992 law, Professional and Recreational Sports Gambling Act. I believe it's a professional name. The nickname is the Bradley Act. And that law basically limited sports gambling betting to four states. I know New Jersey recently tried to challenge that and say it was unconstitutional, but they weren't successful in the federal courts. So, I mean, it would take a challenge in the federal courts, and so far one hasn't been successful. So it was an idea that's been thrown out there, but unfortunately I don't think it's possible.
Let's move on. I kind of want to ask you a few open-ended questions just so people can kind of hear your voice, you know, try to figure out, you know, what's behind Will's, why is Will running, what does Will think he's going to do if he is elected. So I guess the first one I'll ask you is, what do you think the role of a Kentucky state senator in our area should be?
Right. Well, I think a Kentucky state senator should represent the people. They should go to Frankfort, represent the people's values, and fight for the people. You know, as a prosecutor, I fight for victims of crime in the courtroom, and I look forward to taking that same passion to Frankfort to do everything I can for what's best for Campbell County, Bracken, and Pendleton.
What do you think the role of government in total should be?
Right. Well, I am a Republican, so, You know, I think limited government is better. I think it's better for life, for liberty. You know, I don't want the government looking down everything we do, and I don't want it to impede on businesses and what jobs businesses can create and revenue can come from that.
Any endorsements thus far?
I was endorsed by the Kentucky Right to Life. I have the highest NRA rating that they gave a candidate. Also, there's a few other. There's the Builders and Contractors of Kentucky.
Sure.
And some downstate.
And I'm sure at some point, as we near Election Day, which, again, is November 4th this year, be sure to check forthomasmatters.com for all your political coverage. There is a Election 2014 tab at the top of the page that you can click on there, see Q&As from Will that we've done earlier. You might have seen that in the Fort Thomas Living as well. So, Will, we're in an elevator together. We've got 30 seconds to spend with one another. I've got to get off to my floor. Why do I vote for Will Schroeder?
You know, I've been passionate as a public servant, as a prosecutor, and I'm going to take that same passion to Frankfort. I think when you apply passion and hard work, you can accomplish just about anything. I make three promises on my stump speech. I promise that no one's going to outwork me on the campaign trail or down in Frankfort, and I think so far I've lived up to that. I promise that I'm going to be held accountable to the people, to voters, not just the judge execs and the other politicians, but to the people. And I promise that I'm going to do what is right for the district every time, not what is in my self-interest, or what's in the interest of the district.
Will, appreciate you being on Fort Thomas Matters Radio. The Informed Voters Project, once again, is sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions. Will, thanks for being here. Any last words?
Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening. And I hope you guys come out and vote for me on November 4th. Thanks.
For Will Schroeder, this is Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio, signing off.